Friends, fellow worshippers, welcome to worship here at St. Stephen's on this day in Epiphany, where we're celebrating the baptism of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? All who thirst, come to the water and drink deeply of these living streams. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who yearn for forgiveness. As the waters of the Jordan washed over Jesus, so the Holy Spirit washed over you and me. Our gracious God beckons and blesses us. Let us give praise for new life in Christ. And as we begin our time of worship, let's light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus came to give life and light to the world. Let's pray together. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, O Christ, you are the fountain of life. Refresh us. You are the cleansing spring. Heal us. You are the well from which we drink and never thirst again. Fill us. Amen. And as we drink of that water, let's remember our merciful God who forgives our sins. Let's come to a time of confession. Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that sometimes we remain preoccupied with ourselves and separated from our sisters and brothers in Christ. Sometimes we return to destructive habits or hang on to old grudges and allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I know that you hear this each Sunday when you ask for forgiveness. Each Sunday we say, we are forgiven. No strings attached. Our God watches over us, loves us, and urges us to leave the darkness of worry, despair, and past mistakes. He beckons us to come into the light. Through grace, we are set free. Let's celebrate the grace we're offered. And as you watch this video, if you are sitting with someone, together with that person, offer them a sign of peace in the name of Christ. The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. It's in two parts with a little part on Herod, not part of this reading. So it is Luke 3:15 to 17, and then Luke 21 to 22. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Good morning. Please pray with me. Lord, give us ears, hearts, and minds to understand your will for us today. Amen. Good morning again, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I know, it's a bit late. However, I was away for both of these holidays, and I missed the opportunity to say to so many of you, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. So there it is. Preparing for this homily, I read three detailed analyses of the significance of the baptism of Jesus by his cousin, John the Baptizer. These essays dealt with several theological questions. Why did Jesus ask John to baptize him? We're told Jesus was without sin. Why does Jesus receive the Holy Spirit when he is already part of the Trinity? As Diane reminded us last week, Jesus is God and human and part of the Trinity. Was Jesus' baptism by water to adhere to some ritual in Leviticus, or was it the fulfillment of a prophecy? That is, was it to prepare the people for Christ's eventual atonement for our sin? It's John the Baptizer who states, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Deep questions, and if you want answers to these questions, please go to the sources I read. I'm not going to address this complexity, apologies extended. Nevertheless, I do have some things to say about Jesus' baptism and God's affirmation of his Son and its significance for us in 2025. I hope you'll stay and listen. These are messages from my heart. Let me start in a strange place: Christmas magic, Santa Claus, and good cheer. I do promise that I will bring this all the way back around and address today's reading of Jesus' baptism. Deep breath. Launch. As a child, there was one Christmas song that terrified me. It was the words in the song. You'll recognize it right away. It goes like this: "You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town." And then this verse: "He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake." That song terrified me. To me, there was this person who could see me all the time, no matter where I was, even when I was sleeping. Someone who knew if I'd been bad or good. And he was making a list. There was no hiding from this Santa Claus. And I remember thinking, what if I don't know what's bad in Santa Claus's view? Then would I get put on the naughty list and end up with coal in my stocking? I remember wondering, Did Santa know what I was thinking? And if what I was thinking was bad, would I get on the bad list? And I wondered how many goods I would have to do in order for Santa to undo some of the bads. It kept me up at night, many nights. Later in life, but not that much later, when I was about 12, I was preparing to be confirmed in our Anglican church in Dundas, Ontario. And I must admit to you, I lived with this fearsome notion presented to me by a few of our Sunday school teachers that God was this eye in the sky, watching, checking. God was fearsome and usually dissatisfied with my performance. This terrified me even more. What if I spat on the ground? We were told never to do this as kids. What if I didn't help that old person cross the street? We were told to do that. The irony is now I'm that person looking for someone to help me cross at a crosswalk. What if I didn't say good morning to our weird neighbor, Jennifer? I cringe even now using the word weird. She was just different. What if I could not recite the Lord's Prayer and the Creed in front of my confirmation class? My dyslexia always made it hard for me to memorize. Would God in the sky see these things and maybe I would not be eligible for confirmation? To my great amazement, I found out these things. One, even though God saw all, there was no list prepared of naughty or nice. Thank you, Reverend John Bothwell. Two, there was no list of those going to heaven or hell. Big sigh. Thank you, Reverend John. And three, God sees all, it's true. Yet it's so he can encourage us, love us, put kind people in our path as we walk through life. People to support us. Thank you, Reverend John. This revelation from Reverend John contributed to the development of my understanding of the nature of God. That God was not there to judge me, moment by moment, just waiting to put me on the going to hell list. I said that Reverend John's words contributed to my understanding, yet it took many more years. Many more years. Until finally, I was able to drop those early fears of the ever-watchful God waiting for me to trip up. A brief trip back to Santa. I'll be careful how I say this. You never know who might be listening. Santa isn't watching, and he has nothing on me or you. That song is just manipulation. As an aside, having put Santa and his list out of my mind at about age 8 or 9, I was somewhat re-traumatized when our adult kids started using the elf on the shelf. Do you know about the elf? He's this fictional doll who moves around the house, and he watches over my grandchildren and snitches to Santa Claus. If I could, I would ban the elf. Enough about Santa. On to Luke. It's time to make the connect I promised you, and there really is one. Where does the eye in the sky theology come from? The naughty and nice list. I do remember being given a text in Sunday school that we were told to memorize. It was short enough that I was actually able to memorize it, It comes from Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Quite terrifying. Much of the Old Testament speaks of a wrathful God and, I acknowledge, a forgiving God. Sadly, I mostly heard of the wrath. Yet there are other places in both the Old Testament and the New Testament where we read of God's kind watchfulness. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in my ways that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. We were never asked to memorize that verse. Or there's Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. We were not asked to memorize that verse. I found this small excerpt from a site called Christian Today, published in the UK. It summarized for me much of my understanding of God's kind watchfulness. Here it is. Sometimes we work really hard to achieve a goal which benefits those around us, or put a lot of time and effort into overcoming a personal struggle, but don't receive the recognition from our peers. It's not uncommon to feel unappreciated, devalued, and almost invisible at times like this. But God sees everything that we do, and he rewards us for the good. We are not invisible to him or without value. The article continues, it's wonderful to know that God is watching over us. And it's not just so that he can make a note of when we get things wrong, but so he can protect us and guide us through life's many twists and turns. I love that. Taken out of context, there are some scary words in today's Bible reading from Luke. Consider the wording in these three different texts. The first one from the New International Version Beth read this morning. This winnowing fork is in his hand, sorry, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In the J.B. Phillips translation, he will come already to separate the wheat from the chaff and to clear the rubbish from his threshing floor. The wheat he will gather into his barn and the chaff he will burn with a fire that cannot be put out. And in Eugene Peterson's The Message, he's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Yet, placed in context, these three excerpts are quite different in their connotation, for me at least. This is not Luke's description of an angry Jesus arriving with God's list to separate us into those to be loved and those to be burned with unquenchable fire. Rather, this is Luke describing the questions in the crowd at the time Jesus was baptized. And their question was, might John the Baptizer be the Messiah? Is it him? Luke describes John's response that he is not the Messiah, really not the Messiah. Eugene Peterson words it this way: the interest of the people by now was building. They were all beginning to wonder, could this John be the Messiah? But John intervened. I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom of life. A fire. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. All the winnowing and burning of the chaff is not so much about the condemning as it is about the gathering, the embracing, the saving, the nurturing, the rebuilding. It's about giving hope to the desperate, those who feel unloved and unlovable. It's for caring about those who are in a dark place to see the light, the beautiful light. Our Jesus brings us the Holy Spirit to truly ignite a kingdom life in us, to change us from the inside out. And that is what I want, to be washed clean, to be transformed from the inside out, and to reach out and take God's hand. He's got me. All that other stuff, pain, anger, disappointment, frustration, go ahead, burn it. It's of no value to me or to you. I don't want it, and God doesn't want it. In the last part of the reading today, we hear God's voice speaking to his son. It's quite rare in the New Testament, more common in the Old Testament. Each of the Gospels' word, what God says to his son, the same way. As Jesus is praying, the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove, and God declares, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Affirmation, so often forgotten in our daily rush about, but not forgotten by God. If it mattered to God to let Jesus know he was well loved, shouldn't it matter to us to do the same for those in our lives? I'm hard pressed to think of any gift more important than to affirm those with whom we are in relationship. The words, "I love you, you matter to me, I am delighted with you," can transform lives. God, teach me that lesson today. Amen. I propose that you add your own prayers in the quiet spaces after each thanksgiving and petition, and then I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you may add, hear our prayers. Please pray with me. God of the universe, magnificent Creator, we give you thanks for all you provide. Thank you for your grace and promise of forgiveness. Thank you for enabling us to stand before you with boldness and confidence. Thank you for inviting us into the light with your affirming nurture. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we pray for your creation. Help us to be aware of how we harm our planet. Make us less greedy. Teach us how to share. Empower us to act together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we ask that you speak eloquently to the hearts of those that use war and violence to affect change. Stop the fighting. Build cooperation and peace. Restore dialogue between nations and communities. Help us to find compromises that can move us forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we pray for our towns, cities, provinces, and our country. Give our politicians the wisdom to create governance that works to address social needs, not political aspirations. Tone down the rhetoric which incites anger and hatred. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we pray for social justice for those without homes, food, income, jobs. Encourage us to step out on the coldest night of the year and to bring a friend to walk with us. What we do matters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We remember all those who are ill, physically or mentally, alone or lonely, and grieving. be near God. Bring healing, nurture, companionship. Show us how we can help our sisters and brothers in need. Help us affirm those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We ask all these things, knowing that you are with us, that you love us, you see us, and you listen to us. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Continuing in our thanksgiving for all that Jesus gives us, provides for us, helps us with, let us return our offering to him for his purposes, and let's pray the offertory prayer over all the gifts given this week. Merciful God, with joy and thanksgiving, we offer what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
There are many wonderful parts to the services that we have here at St. Stephen's and that we put up on YouTube. This part is especially wonderful. It's the blessing part. God watches over us. It's true. He watches with love, respect, and delight. And friends, never with a scowl. May you leave this place filled with a new resolve to walk boldly and with confidence, knowing that God is with you. Now, go forth with thanksgiving to love and serve our amazing God who loves each of us most personally. Amen.
A love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty. to say.